His hair trigger temper flashed again and again. When I counseled with him regarding these problems, he often became softened and open and teachable, and to express an eagerness and determination to conquer these tendencies and to be a good missionary. Yet again and again, under various stresses, he found himself unable or at least unwilling to keep his resolves. One day, after weeks of counseling, he asked me to transfer him to a new area and assign him to a new companion. The relationship he had with his present companion was so poor, he was afraid of what he might do in a fit of anger. After that point, I listened attentively to him and counseled him to learn to be kind, to obey, and to give himself to the work. Then I began to realize that I was asking him to conquer the third temptation before he had conquered the first. I knew he wasn't getting up regularly at 5:55 in the morning when the missionaries were expected to, so I asked him if he would do this every morning for one full month. His response was most interesting. He said, "I came to talk to you about my companion and my problems with him, and now you tell me to get up at 5:55. I replied, "Let's get to work at conquering the flesh first. Then later you'll deal with these emotions in your relationships. Will you get up at 5:55 for one full month?" He answered, "I'm not really sure I can." I told him not to make a promise unless he knew he could keep it, and that he would keep it, and that if he wasn't sure he could keep it for a full month, could he keep it for a week? He said he was sure he could do that, and he made a commitment. What a beaming face after 1 week. He was absolutely thrilled with his achievement. However small it may appear to others, to him, he had overcome a major obstacle. I commended him on his integrity, and then we determined together on the next step, which was to continue getting up at that time, but also to put in 2.5 hours of solid individual and companion study in the morning. He didn't think he could do this, for his mind was so indisciplined it would constantly jump from one thing to another. Most any and every interruption distracted him. So I directed, "All right, then merely commit yourself to sit there and try, but do not give up." Several days later, I was able to commend him again. Then we moved to the next step, that of getting out and beginning tracting each morning at 9:30. He honored the commitments, and he grew in a sense of integrity and honor. Little by little, line upon line, he acquired control over his flesh. His consciousness of victory over himself became such a thrilling thing to him that he started to get up at 5:30 in the morning so that he might have a little more time to study. He began to develop self-power over his tongue, which was also part of his body. Gradually, he experienced an increase in his power to study and to concentrate in his prayers, to express the feelings of his heart. He sought God's blessings upon his emotions so that he would acquire the power to control them, to subject them to God's Spirit. He had no more companion or relationship problems whatsoever. To make a long story short, he became one of the most powerful and influential teaching missionaries in the entire field. He became highly esteemed and respected because of his selflessness and his tendency to go the second mile in serving others. When he was put into a top leadership position in the mission, his example and spirituality were so well known and esteemed that the zone over which he presided immediately leaped forward in application and dedication, and shortly thereafter in accomplishment. How absolutely inspiring it was to witness this transformation, this second birth. I am convinced the same principle holds in many of our lives. If we could merely be strong in certain of the hard moments, then when other temptations come, we would be amazed at the reserve strength we would have to face them. In the mission field, we had a motto that focused on this entire concept. Until you can say, "I am my master," you cannot say, "I am thy servant." A missionary or any one of us might profess to be a servant of the Lord, and we might feel sincere in that particular moment. But under the right pressure or stress, we might find ourselves controlled by a particular passion or appetite. We become jealous or envious or lustful or slothful. Then we feel guilty. We make promises, and then we break them. We make resolutions, and then break them. We gradually lose faith in our own capacities to make any professions, any resolutions, any promises, or we do so only mechanically. Despite our profession to be the Lord's servants, we become the servants or slaves of whatever masters us. Most of us need to start with acquiring control over our bodies. We know in our minds what we need to do. Our problem is not a lack of knowledge. It is habit. The body is sacred. It is the house in which the Spirit lives. The Apostle John tells us that those who inherit all things are those who overcometh, meaning, as I understand it, they overcome the flesh and the world. With God's help, they become their own masters. Only then can their submission to the mastery of the Lord be fully complete and whole. The Savior himself, when he delivers up the kingdom and presents it unto the Father spotless, will say, "I have overcome and have trodden the winepress alone, even the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." Through study of the Scriptures and the teachings of our modern prophets, we learn that apparently our first and most basic stewardship is our bodies. To acquire bodies was one of the main purposes of our coming to earth, and we are then to use our bodies as divine instruments to perfect and train our spirits until our spirits have the full control and mastery of our bodies under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps a sense of the buffeting of Satan is to be in the spirit world without a body, yet possess the same disposition and character weaknesses as in mortality. To have all of the appetites and desires and passions, but without the instrument of expression. The control would not lie in the spirit, but in the body, and it is in the grave. What a hell this would be. If I do not honor my stewardship over my own flesh, how could I possibly honor my stewardship as a husband or wife or father or mother or any other role in the kingdom of God? Let me share some practical exercises. All individuals must strive to know themselves, that is, to know some of their tendencies and propensities and weaknesses, as well as their strengths and capacities. On this understanding, with some spiritual motivation, they can build a practical program of self-mastery. They will find, as they begin to control themselves, their appetites and their passions, that their knowledge of themselves will also increase. The following steps may help in a program of self-mastery. First, whenever you set your alarm to get up, get up, regardless of how you might feel at the time. Second, have a program of daily exercise that is geared to your own general health and capacity. Third, practice moderation and wisdom in diet and fasting. With regard to the second level, or the second temptation, I have found that the exercise of patience and understanding is a cardinal principle, one that helps fashion and develop other gospel virtues, including sincerity of life. If we will exercise patience when we are tempted to become critical or angered, we will find that many other things will automatically fall into place. At the third level, that is, in dealing with the third temptation, I stress two exercises. First, the habit of prayerful, daily scripture study and meditation, leading to some private commitments in prayer to live by the principles of righteousness that day. And second, anonymously serving others and going the second mile, which involves magnifying a church or priesthood calling. Such service flows out of the spirit of consecration and also feeds and reinforces that spirit so that we do the right things for the right reasons. The essential element in overcoming all three temptations and in practicing the exercises given above is self-denial. Roswell Dwight Hitchcock said, "The secret of all success is to know how to deny yourself. Prove that you can control yourself and you are an educated man. And without this, all other education is good for nothing." After the Savior conquered the three temptations, according to the Scriptures, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." When you and I learn to conquer the evil one and his temptations, whether open or blatant or insidious and subtle, then I believe that God's sweet Spirit will also come to us and minister to us. Our characters will grow in power. And from this increased strength will emerge the power to resist future temptations and to work more righteousness.